Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Moopin Laboratories Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. Joining us on this call today are Mr. Sushil Suri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ajay Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vipul Kumar Srivastava, Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Suri, Chairman and Managing Director of Moopin Laboratories Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope everybody is safe and sound at his place. We know and we understand that now the offices have started opening up and to a large extent the work from home scenario is going. We are all working from offices now. Let's pray that this COVID thing goes forever and we all have a safe journey from here onward. Coming straight to the business. We have already uploaded the results on the stock exchange yesterday. Just to give you a quick run and a quick summary where we are and what is happening. We all know that the whole financial year was very challenging. We had two rounds of COVID. It was second wave and a little milder third wave. Last two months, or I would say almost full quarter, last two, three months, the global scenario has also been very disturbing, and particularly due to the Russia-Ukraine war situation or overall global scenario, global markets, whether it is the stock markets or the currency markets or commodities market, there have been a lot of fluctuations and variations. All said and done, we have concluded the year very nicely. Just to update you the numbers which are already in the open market. Last we had around 1,200 crores of top line. This year we have been able to increase by 30% increase in the revenue amounting to 1,557 crores. It's a very solid jump as against a large number last year. Last year we had said that we'll be able to maintain a growth of 20%-25%, but we have scaled it to 30% and we are proud of the team and full support of all the stakeholders. The revenue growth is very good. Of course, against the 30% revenue growth, we have got a pre-tax profit of 29% increase, which is almost proportionate to the net revenue. When we talk of the post-tax profits, post-tax profits of course have only 5% increase. We are proud to share that for the first time, almost after 25-30 years, the company has started paying tax. We are a tax-paying company. We have paid 25 crore rupees tax this year. The total liability of the tax is 25 crore tax incident against 126 crore profit. Almost 25 crore goes to the tax. Net increase is only 5%, which is post profit after tax. Basically, whatever increase in profit has come, that has all gone to the tax market. One way it is good that we are now contributing to the economy of the country. We are contributing towards the tax. On the other hand, it's not coming to my pocket or your pocket. It's being contributing for the taxation purpose. With a 5% increase in the profit after tax, there's a 5% increase in the EPS. This is broad number, 30% increase in revenue, 29% increase in PBT, and 5% increase after tax, 25 crore tax incident first time. Of course, now once we become a tax-paying company from here onward, the comparison would be apple to apple because till last quarter, now since we are comparing the results with the last quarter results or last year results, last year there was no tax. Now this year we are paying tax. From hence onward, whatever we compare, it will be tax to tax, apple to apple comparison on an annual basis. Now coming specifically to the quarterly split. This year was very interesting. For the first quarter, we had a second wave of COVID, and there was a lot of aggressive purchasing by the customers, whether on retail side or B2B, whether on API or medical devices. We had a rocking first half. Q1, Q2 both were good. 388 crore, 398 crores. And third quarter also was around 399 crores. This quarter is a little shy, 372 crores. But broadly speaking, we are maintaining almost 400 crore mark with 1557 in the gross. If we have 400 crores, it becomes 1600. So a little shy of 1600. But now we are a 400 crore quarter company, between 350 to 400 crores. And quarter on quarter, last year, same quarter, we had 291 crore. This year, same quarter, Q4 is 372 crore. So there is a 28% jump in the quarterly revenue, which is very good. Annual revenue increase is 30%. This quarter is 28%. So we are almost there. Now, if we go forward and try to see where the income is coming from, so against 28% revenue growth, and of course, year as a whole, the growth is 30%, from 1,200 crores to 1,557 crores. So here, our export revenue has gone up by 17%. Again, 30% increase in the total revenue. Export revenue has gone up by 37%, while the domestic revenue has gone up by 38%. So the point to be noted here is that there is a substantial increase in the domestic revenue. Of course, one is because of the medical devices business. There was a huge jump in the medical devices business. In the first half, there was an 88% growth. And in the second half, almost another 10% growth. So overall, there's a 46% growth in the medical devices. And in the API also, in the main, our core business of API. So good growth is coming from the domestic market. Our export share, which was 67% last year, has come down to 64% in the API business. So domestic market has gone up. So, but otherwise, for the quarter, this Q4, export is 39% up, domestic is 20% up. But company as a whole, there's a 17% increase in the export business. So your export business of your company has gone up to 557 crores. So we have crossed the 500 crore mark, which we are planning last year. But last year we were at close at 477. But now this year we have crossed the 500 crore mark and 17% increase, 557 crore export market. So this is a very, very big milestone which we have achieved. Now coming specifically to the business segments. So just to repeat, we have one API business, which is B2B, and where we are not dealing with the consumer, it is more industry to industry. Then all the other three businesses are more of B2C, medical devices, OTC, and finished dosages. Finished dosages is actually not B2C because it goes with doctor prescription, but still it's directly to the consumer. Medical device business, as we had shared in our past calls, we have already taken shareholders' approval, and the process of shifting it to the separate subsidiary is under process, subject to regulatory approvals. So approvals take a little more time than usual. So whenever there is any update, we'll share with you on that. So these are the main three businesses: API, medical devices, formulations, and OTC. So now if you look at the segment-wide growth, all the business segments have been giving phenomenal growth. The API business has grown by 26%. As I shared, that exports have grown. So, but generally, API also gone up by 26%. Again, 30% increase of the company growth, API has grown by 26%. This is a major contributor in the business. So here, there has been more increase in the domestic side. But even export has also not been left behind. So we'll come back to specifically to the product wise. Then medical devices business, as I shared, from 287 crore, it has gone to 409 crore. There's a 46% jump in the medical devices business. Here again, the first half was remarkably good. The second half is nominal growth of 9 to 10%. Formulation business, from 131 crore, it has gone to 169 crore. There's an increase of 28%. This is a very, very good growth, very good jump. But I must share that this jump looks high as compared to the previous year, because last year the jump was only 5%. Because the year before, because of the COVID, there was a very, very nominal increase of only 3 to 4%. So basically the formulation business was most affected due to COVID. But now it has come back. We are back to the original numbers. And lastly, our OTC business has gone up from 86 crores to 106 crores. So basically, it has crossed the 100 crore mark. All businesses segments are above 100 crores. OTC also is 106 crores with a growth of 23%. All segments have grown, API by 26%, diagnostic devices 46%, formulation 28%, and Dr. Murgan OTC by 23%. If we look at the segment-wise percentage, medical devices business percentage has gone up by almost 3% from 26% to 29% because the growth was higher than the API. API has gone from 62 to 59, so 3% drop, almost 2.6% drop. Medical devices has gone up 3%. Formulation is almost same, 11-12%. Now I will give you a heads up on individual businesses. First, we look at our core business, which is our API, which is our strength, where we are known for the quality and we are leaders in the global market on certain products. Here on the quarterly basis, we have grown up by 37% from 171 crores last year same quarter. We have come to 235 crores in this quarter. While year as a whole, the growth is 26%. Here we have grown both in the domestic market and the export market. If you look at the CAGR, which is the compounded annual growth rate, or some people call it CAGR, the compounded growth rate is 28%. API business has been growing consistently year after year by averagely 28%. This year it has grown 26%. Last year, of course, was 39%. If you look at the export revenue, as I already shared that from 473 crores, it has gone to 553 crores. In the quarter, the export revenue was again substantially higher. The current quarter export revenue of API has grown by 40%. Company as a whole, if you look at the API business, our export is 64%. 64% of all the goods in the API are export, so domestic market is only 36%. Here also there is a little swing that during the current year, our export has decreased by 3%. From our share of 67%, it has dropped to 64%. Now, if you look at the continent-wide sales, that 557 crore sale is not coming specifically from one market, so it is coming from various markets. U.S. market has grown by 48%, which is a very, very big jump. Last year, U.S. market had not grown very well. Because of the COVID, there were many travel restrictions and the people were not buying. Buying has started again, and there's an increase of 48%. This increase includes our traditional product, loratadine and Montelukast. Also, we had last quarter, we shared that we have got approval of fexofenadine, which is the generic form of Allegra. We had got U.S. FDA approval. Our fexofenadine supplies have started to U.S. in the last quarter, in this Q4. U.S. market has shown very good growth, which will of course continue as we get more and more orders for all the different products. European market has grown 18%, which is as good as our overall growth of 17%. Asian market was a bit slow, but still it has grown 7%. Here it includes markets like Japan, Korea, Thailand. We can see that still the movement is not very high, including China. Because these markets are taking some time, China is still disturbed. We are still struggling with the COVID, but we had good exports to China also earlier. Indian market, as I shared that, even the API segment also, the Indian market has grown to 48%. We have almost added 100 crores in the Indian market, domestic sales, thanks to our one leading product, Montelukast. It is effective in COVID also, but in general for asthma and for pollution. Montelukast is growing very well, and domestic market has grown 48%, primarily because of Montelukast. South American market, which has Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay, so all these markets taken together has grown at 25%. Of course, African markets are again up 9%. We have added 183 new customers without much travel and without much, I would say, marketing efforts in this business. We have got more than 1,009 satisfied customers globally, as against 826 customers which were last year. Thanks to the whole team that they have been performing very well, and we are now expanding teams in all the continents. and we want to focus more and more now since COVID scenario has slowed down and the travel has started. So we have extensive travel plans in the coming 2 years. So wherever the markets have gone a bit slow, so we want to reactivate and would like to focus more and more on all the continents which have not been able to perform well. When coming specifically to the product, what are the products which are contributing? As I shared that Montelukast was one product which has contributed very well. So there's a growth of 65% in the Montelukast in the revenues. So of course, most of the revenues are coming from the domestic market. So therefore, there is a pressure on the margins. So Montelukast is sold in the domestic market. As you would appreciate, domestic markets are not that profitable. So we have to have some compromise in the margins, which is obvious in our results. And loratadine, which is our core product, which is again US FDA, Montelukast is also US FDA. So their first 2 quarters were very tight. There was a little decline, but the decline we have been able to recover in the next 2 quarters. Loratadine, overall, there is a growth of only 1%. Even though globally the market has not grown, there is a bit slowdown in loratadine because people are using masks. People are fully vaccinated, so there is not much flu happening. It is used for like allergies and flus. But still, we have been able to recover. There's a growth of 1%. And atorvastatin has grown by 18%. And new molecules, which are very small in number, they have grown by almost 689%. So basically, the major growth is coming from Montelukast, atorvastatin, and loratadine. And as we had shared earlier also, that we have got a leadership position in loratadine. And last year, our market share out of India, we track the export of all the companies out of India. So our share of export out of the Indian market is 68%. I won't say it's a lion's share. It's almost more than two-thirds of the share is ours. So if we have an export of 300 kgs out of the country, 200 kgs is going out of our units, and 68% is this year. Last year was 60%. Even though the market has not gone up, our share in the market has gone up. We are 68% of the market, and of this particular loratadine, it is of course, this was the first US FDA we had got back in year 2000. 88% of our product is exported. So technically, I would say maybe more than 90-95% product is exported. But 88% is direct export, which we count in our books. But many times, some customers take delivery in India through their own subsidiary, but product goes outside. But we do not include that because our prudence says if the invoice is raised in an international name, only then it is counted as export. But still, we have 68% market share, which is commendable to the R&D team and the QC team. We have been able to retain the market share. And of course, there are pressures on the profitability, but we have been able to match the prices so far. The next big molecule, what we have, as I shared, Montelukast. So last year, our share in the export market was 30%. Now this year has gone up by 49%. So we have increased our share in the export market. We have increased our share in the domestic market, both places. So this has become one of the large products, and this has become rather, I would say, a little bigger than loratadine because the growth was exponential. So we expect that this product will continue growing more and more. And as we go forward, we will try to acquire some more market share. We would certainly want that we should be more than 50%. Now it is 49.2% market share. So this product, 41% is exported and 59% is domestic. So domestic is more. Other than this, we have products like we shared that hexafenidine, then rosuvastatin, then there are new molecules which some products are still under patent and small shipments are going for R&D purposes. Some products are going off patent in the coming few months. So whenever the sales of these new molecules starts, certainly we will come back to you. So we have as a company, our key focus is in generating and focusing more and more on our intellectual property, getting FDA approvals. So your company has got all the approvals or all the regulatory authorities of US, Europe, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Australia, of course, China, whether it is US FDA, EDQM, PMDA Japan, KFDA, EU GMP, TGA Australia. So the plant is fully approved, and we as a company, we have never got any negative feedback or any warning letter from US FDA. We have never got any product recall. We have a history of nil 483, and your company is proud to share that we enjoy a very good reputation before the FDA from a compliance point of view, and we have not got any negative observation from the FDA inspectors. So your company has got 140 patents filed and 130 DMFs, and of course, there are import drug licenses in China, 13 of them, and 33 new products our R&D team has developed. So there's a lot of backend, which is more of a virtual property or intellectual property, which is not visible in the balance sheet, but your company is sitting on this huge wealth of talent and patents, which our R&D guys keep working. So that was an overall view about the API business. So medical devices business is the next. So you might be hearing all of the year that the medical devices business has been growing at a very high speed, and thanks to a lot of pressure from COVID, people have started using these meters and BP monitors and sugar testing. It has become almost a routine of every household. And now people are a bit scared of the health, and they are testing sugar very regularly. So there's a 46% increase in the medical devices business. Though in the first two quarters, when COVID was actually happening, so certainly the sales were higher. We had grown almost 88% in the first two quarters, and the rest of the two quarters, it is low. But year as a whole, if we look, from 287 crores, we have grown to 419 crores, a 46% growth. And I would say that during COVID, there were all the limitations. There were supply issues, there were price issues, there was cargo issues, labor problems. So in spite of that, we have been able to do it. And around 75%-80% of the business is coming from our own manufacturing of the sugar machines, which is both glucometers and glucose strips. Now coming to the products, this major growth is coming here in the two categories. One is glucometers, and second is the BP monitors. Glucometers, we have grown by 54%, so which is a large growth against a large base. So almost out of 419, 287 crore is glucometers only. Then in this financial year, there's a huge growth on the BP monitors also. For the first time, we have crossed the number of 1 million meters. So we have almost 1.9 million meters installed this year in the BP monitor. Coming specifically to the glucometers, so from 180 crores, we have grown to 279 crores, a 59% increase in the glucometers in the whole year. During the quarter, it was 10%. So we have 7.2 million meters already installed in the market. So against 7.2 million meters, 2.17 million meters have been installed in this year. Last year it was 1.69 million meters. So we continue installing the market, meters in the market, irrespective of COVID or no COVID, markets are slow or bad. So our meter installation is going. And as a company, we have conducted more than 900 million strips. We have sold more than 900 million strips, maybe another 10% in the market. Around 800 million tests have already been done. And during this year, we have sold 300 million strips. Strips means single test strips for the sugar testing. And this year, BP monitors have also gone up from 63 crores revenue to 84 crore revenue. Last year, the revenue was more than double, from 29 crore to 63 crores. It was more than 100% growth. And now from 63 to 84. If you look in 3 years, the revenue has gone three times. So this is immense performance. And I would like to say that there's a 47% CAGR. While in glucometers, the growth was, again, almost 44%. So all the category as a whole has gone a CAGR of 44%. Then BP monitor glucometers at 44%, BP monitor at 47% CAGR. So CAGR indicates that the growth after growth, so on a higher number, on a large base, almost every year we are adding 40 to 45%. That's broadly on the two main products. Other than that, we had some miscellaneous products where we have nebulizer thermometers, and we had non-contact thermometers, oximeters, and oxygen concentrators. So these were, I would say, cyclic products. In FY 2021, we had sold some thermometers, non-contact thermometers, around 13 crore. Now, this financial year, we had some sale of oximeters. But these sales, I would say, are cyclic and temporary in nature. So it was 56 crore of revenue, wherein nebulizers, BP monitors, sorry, nebulizer, oximeters, oxygen concentrators. So there's a 28% growth. But this was, I would say, not a very happy state of business because in the second wave, there was a lot of pressure on both oximeters and oxygen concentrators. So we have gathered a lot of large inventories of these products, which we are still holding. God forbid if the COVID comes again, so we have the inventory. But maybe we may have to incur some losses whenever the products are not disposed of in the next few quarters. So that's all about the medical devices business. And then if we look at the finished dosage business, which I was telling that it has come back now. So last year, it has reduced from 138 crore to 131 crore. So from 131, it has gone to 28. It has grown by 28% now. So it has become 169 crore. So there's a 34% increase in the revenue in the quarter, 28% for the year as a whole. So here, if we look at the categories, that what are the segments which have grown and what is the disease segment, antibiotics have grown 66%. And you would appreciate that because of the prevalent COVID, so there are certain antibiotics which are commonly used. So there's a 66% growth. So then there's a 46% growth in the probiotic and gastro reach. We have very high-class probiotics which are imported from Belgium. So there's a 46% growth. Then we have a good range of nutrition products and multivitamins which are recommended by the doctors. There's a 31% increase there also. And there's another 40% growth coming from other common products. So good growth in antibiotic, gastro, and nutrition. Now coming to the last segment, which is Dr. Morbus, which is more of, I would say, excitement in the market on the OTC front. Here, we have grown by 23%. For the first time, the OTC numbers have grown up by 106 crore. Here, other than the trade, we have grown up extensively in the online business also. Trade has grown just by 10%, but online business, we have started investing in the online business, wherein we have launched a range of products which are available only online. So on a small number, there's a growth of 273%. But as a company, the online business has started moving up. Out of the total sales, 19% of the company's business in the OTC has become online. So those are the main two things which have grown very nicely. And as a brand, Dr. Morbus as a brand, which includes devices, finished dosages, and OTC, so we have become almost 685 crore rupees brand, 685 crore rupees top-line brand. So you can imagine the value of this. The brand has grown by 36%. So just to touch base quickly, our R&D spend has grown by 34%, primarily API 47%, finished dosage 46%. I know time is looking short, but I'll quickly touch the financial highlights. As we talked, the net revenue for the quarter has gone up by 28%. Expenditure, including costs, has gone up by 36%. There's almost a 5% increase in the cost of the raw materials because of the two reasons. One is that because of the supply disruption, so there's an increase in prices of raw materials from China and from other markets because of the heavy cost of cargo also. Secondly, in our main core business of API, where our sale has increased primarily from domestic market, so domestic market is not very highly profitable. So there is a pressure on the margins. So of course, taking into account both the things, the quarterly profit is not very great. So that's why there is a pressure. But if we look at the operating ratio, our debtors have gone up from 1.63 months to 1.73 months because we are doing more sales. little lower recovery in the debtors. Inventory turnover, inventory has gone down from almost 5 months to 4.65 months. Current ratio has gone up because more inventory, more debtors. And operating margin has shrunk a little from 8.36% to 7.66%. And net margin has also gone down by 1.5% almost, 150 basis points. Then if you look at the consolidated ratios and consolidated numbers for the year as a whole, net revenue up 30%, EBITDA 13% up, profit before tax 29%, as we talked earlier, profit after tax 5% up, EPS 5% up. During the year, the capital has also gone up. Promoters have subscribed to 2.8 crore shares, which the warrants were there, which were subscribed. So capital has gone up by 6%. And reserve surplus have gone up by 160 crores. Debt equity ratio is very minimal because we have no debt in the company. And if we look at proportionately the return on capital, so these have also been changing. That's broadly the numbers. And now I would leave the call open for the question answers if anybody has any specific questions. But before we step into that, but I would like to generally say that though the market has few challenges, we have been able to maintain our market share. Even sometimes we have to compromise on the margins, but we have been able to garner the market share and growth. And we hope to continue with the sustained growth in all the different segments. And our focus remains on our core activities of API, devices, OTC, even though we have some growth plans on various sectors. But depending upon how the markets behave and how the investment criteria remains, so we are open to look for investment opportunities, looking in the best interest of the company, best interest of the shareholder, that at what segments, at what return, how much should we dilute, at what stage should we dilute. So we remain open, but we haven't closed any investment proposals so far. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the patient hearing. So the call is open for the questions now. Ananya, over to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Hiten Machala, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sushilji, my first question to you would be that, certainly we have grown in terms of revenue. But when it comes to operating margins, the operating margins for last two quarters have been consecutively falling. We have been maintaining operating margins of around 10-11%. Third quarter was around 8%, and this quarter is around 5%. Are we compromising margins at the cost of gaining larger market share or increasing our business?
So the first question, should we go ahead with the second or I can start replying? Yes, Nitin.
I do have a couple of more questions. If you would respond.
You can ask all, yes. Yeah, you can tell me all the questions and reply together.
Okay. The second question is that for this year, our EBITDA shows around 130 crores. But when it comes to cash from operations, it shows a negative 58 crores. So would you like to explain me on this? Where is the cash? How has it been adjusted in the business? Why so much of difference here? And the third question is about the dividend. I think shareholders, you would agree, have waited for long, many years. We have paid back all our loans, and we are out of the woods. We are earning good profits. When do we expect dividend to get announced? Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Nitin. Thank you for showing interest and I'm just studying the numbers closely. So question number one regarding the operating margins, I think like you said that is there any compromise on the margin? I would say that I won't use the word compromise. I would say that we have to be competitive in the market. The markets, obviously, first two quarters were aggressive because of the pressure of the COVID, even though our API product, nothing is related to the COVID, but there was a pressure in the market. There was some sort of a panic buying, and people were sitting on the inventories. So people are gathering inventories, I would say. And similarly, in the domestic market also, and if you would have noticed in the second quarter wave, everybody was out of stock, retail was out of stock, everybody was under panic. People were buying, even when you're buying your domestic groceries, you were buying in excess. But now what has happened is that the market is overstocked. So we have to give some time for the market to settle. But now, as a company, we have to maintain, as a listed company, we have to maintain the revenues, we have to maintain the expenses, we have to pay the salaries. We can't say, "Oh, by the way, we are waiting, now we are going for a sabbatical." And on the other hand, if we have taken, say, few years to develop a customer, sometimes it takes 3 to 5 years to develop a customer. So if the customer is wanting for a better price, if they are looking for a help, we have to support them. So not that to gather more share, it is only in the domestic market in one product, in Monte do Carlo, the demand was high. And of course, China prices were also high. Supplies were also costly. The cargo was costly. Shipments were costly. But here we had to continue the supply because if we break the chain, somebody else will come in the market and we'll be out of market. So sometimes it is important to get market share, but many a time it is not only about market share, it's only about the market dynamics. In case the prices are increasing on imports, the customer is not going to increase the price in the same way. So sometimes there is a lag. So as a company, we have to sit, we have to wait, but ultimately we service the customer. If we have signed a contract, we have to honor it. So these are the few things which have affected the margins on one side. Secondly, is that in the second quarter, in the third quarter and fourth quarter, if you might have noticed, we have started making investment in the advertisement and marketing also, both in terms of medical devices also, in glucometer, BP monitors. We have started small lifts, but not very high, not very high risk. So with Mr. Boman Irani and then with this Kareena for our pregnancy items, and of course, this another ad for the glucometer also. So we had 3-4 advertisements planned for the medical devices. And of course, for the in general, since our domestic sales have gone up, domestic sales, the margins are not very high. You would appreciate exports have a better margin. And in export also, our major margins come from our key products like Loratadine, which are like 30 years old. So there the sales was, I want to compromise, the sale was not there at all. My first two quarters, there was no sale. We recovered something in the few quarters. But there are few, three, four reasons, but I would say still it was important to maintain the market, which we have been able to do. So coming to your second question, I think Ajay ji would be able to refer better. Ajay ji, on this EBITDA and cash flow, you can take the call.
Yes, regarding the cash, yeah, the cash investment, as we are doing more of domestic business, so our receivables are going high. That's number one. So, and secondly, we are also building the inventories, both in the diagnostic as well as the API segment. So keeping view the supply chain constraint, so that our plants are running on schedule and we are able to deliver to our customers. So these are the two components which are basically we are investing our money into making our supply chain lubricated all the time. So I think that's the investment into the business that will have effect in the coming times, and then we are able to assure our customers that we can deliver them on time and as and when they demand. I think we are okay on this. Definitely, cash is going into the business, but that will give future growth to us and will have better margin. I think on the cash front,
good.
Given the
third point, third point I think is dividend. So we fully understand and appreciate that, like I shared with you, that the first time we have started paying tax and it's in a sufficient quantity. So obviously the next item is dividend. But technically, we have little barriers still in our on the table. We are waiting for conversion of the preference shares of the bank. So till there is a default, technically it is a default. And once we convert that, so we will be free to use our cash flows efficiently. So even though we have surplus profits now, so we are expecting approval from the stock exchanges any time. So once we get approvals, so in the forthcoming AGM, so shareholders meeting, so it will be decided by you guys only that what should be the dividend policy. Certainly, we are getting ready for that, but I cannot give any forward-looking statement. But yes, we are getting ready. So whenever the board decides and shareholders approve, dividend would be declared. Dividend policy would be declared.
Do I understand, Sushilji, that the operating margins will start improving from Q1 onwards of this year? Or will it remain at around 5% of Q4 levels?
I know Q4 certainly was an appraisal. But all along, I think in the previous quarters, if we look at it, it is between 7 to 8. It has gone from 8 to 10. So obviously, we want to continue maintaining that. But it all depends on how the markets behave, how the markets are behaving in the coming months. But so far, so good. We do not see much erosion of the market. But certainly, we will keep updating you. But we are confident that we will maintain the last year's average margins. Not the Q4 margins.
Right. Okay. And coming to the CFO's response to my question, I mean, I do understand that there would be slight increase in the inventory, but when I see the debtors, it doesn't show much increase in the debtors' days. So I'm not sure how exactly 130 crores of EBITDA is transpiring into a negative 58 crores of cash from operations. I'd like to hear a little more on this.
Yes. I'm coming to this. You see, if you see the outflow on debtors account, it is 68 crores, right? And then followed by inventories of 100 crores. So those are the things which are actually eating over the cash.
Sorry to interrupt. Sir, your voice is breaking up. We are not able to hear you clearly.
Okay. What I'm saying is that our receivables are increasing by... am I audible right now?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What I'm saying is that if you see our trade, the two items relating to the sales thing, one is trade receivable and second is the inventories. So on inventories front, we are investing 100 crores more and the debtors, it is around 68 crores. So in all, 168 crore is going into EBITDA. Is it an outflow from operation side? Whatever we have earned, it is going primarily into these two things. I think that explains the primary concern that we are adding around 168 into these two items. But I think that's the basic reason that...
I'll explain. Nitinji,
expect an improvement on this because these figures are quite high. Do we expect an improvement on this?
We definitely have improvement because as in the first quarter, these inventory will definitely ease out in the first quarter, and then we are sure that as well as the debt as well as inventory, both will have impact in the first quarter, and the cash flow will release from these two items in the first quarter, in the coming quarter.
Okay. And Sushilji, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I was saying that since the operating margins, when you say cash from operation, that exactly means that we earned something from the operation, we invested something. So that figure is net figure, that we earned X amount, we invested Y amount, so the net is net may be minus. So sometimes these figures are not, I would say, as good to look at, but the fact remains that whatever we are earning is being invested, rather we have invested little more than that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would like to add there.
Yes.
And then I would like to add that with say a point in the favor of the CFO, that all these growth is coming without any working capital. We are proud to say we are a zero debt company. We do not have any borrowings. Normally what happens is in case your company has grown by 30%, so there's an increase in working capital by 30%. If not 30, maybe 25%. So our growth is a bit constrained because we are depending only on the profits. That is why we do not have even much CapEx, because whatever we are investing, that is going to the working capital. So everybody has a question, where is the cash flow? Cash flow is sitting in the working capital. So ideally, we should get working capital from the banks, and we should not invest our hard-earned cash into the working capital. It should go to the CapEx. So but unfortunately, because of our CDR tag and because of our this preference capital thing, so banks do not encourage, and we are also not in a mood to pay heavy interest rates. But let's see how things go by. In case that's where when we look at growth strategies, we have to find a solution for the growing working capital needs also.
Sir, I take your point. And coming back to dividend, would you like to announce some sort of dividend distribution policy now that we are getting quite close to announcing dividend perhaps very soon? It would be good for shareholders like us who have waited for so many years to see what is the kind of policy that we are looking at.
Nitin, as I said, that I will not be able to give a forward-looking statement. But yes,
it's just about dividend. When would you like to think about dividend distribution policy at board level, and when would you like to announce it?
In the coming AGM, once we are clear with our preference share matter with the banks, hopefully within this quarter. So before the AGM, we'll have a clarity that in case this preference thing is out of the table, then we are free to distribute dividend technically. So we are, I would say, like whatever board meeting after that, we will take the call on the dividend.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Abhishek Bhera, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Suri. Good evening. Congratulations to wonderful set of numbers. I have a few questions. So are you confident on the 30% CAGR for the coming FY? Also, I understand there are many APIs which are in pipeline, but what about the diagnostic business? What is your growth story there for the next FY? If you could enlighten on that.
So, of course, on the medical devices, as I shared earlier, our core business in the medical devices is still glucometers and BP monitors, and the major growth had been coming from these two devices only. And other products, whether it is oximeters or oxygen concentrator or nebulizers, these contribute hardly 10% to the profitability, 10% to the revenue. Since the core business in the medical devices still come from glucometer and BP monitors, I would say for next at least 3-4 quarters, so the major growth would come from the BP and gluco only. Of course, BP monitors, we have had a huge growth this year, but 33% jump in the installation of BP monitors and 54% in the gluco monitor. But certainly we are adding more products which we already have on the scale, but naturally we have to see the production line, we have to see the capacities, and of course the licenses. So nebulizer license, we are still working. Weighing scales is already, we have a product in the weighing scale. Air purifiers are there. And another few lines which I'm not disclosing as yet, but you will see in the market in maybe not this June quarter, maybe in September quarter, you will see those. So I would say products are there, but 90% top line is still from these two products. So I won't give you much hopes about any other products in one or two quarters.
So Mr. Suri, would you be exploring international market other than India in next October?
Yes, Abhishek. International market is on the card. And if you remember, we talked in a previous call that for international market, we have to go for a CE certification of the facilities, which is equivalent to the ISO 13485, which we already have. So, but for international certification, there is an audit. Because of the COVID, the international audits were stopped. Not happening, I would say. Maybe now, anytime now, since the markets are opening, travel is opening. If the audits are open, our facilities are ready. Anybody can come and inspect the facilities. So once we get a CE certification, we can export to practically any market, whether it is Australia or it is South Africa or it is Bangladesh or Cambodia or Vietnam. So we are open to that. But it will take, I would say, at least 2 to 3 quarters before we start any export business. In actual sense, we are exporting small quantities to Nepal, where no approvals are required. India stamp is okay.
Thank you, Mr. Suri. So I have one other question, that sitagliptin is going out of patent, I think, in June. So should we see that sitagliptin getting added to the product portfolio this year itself, or it is going to take more time?
Abhishek, since product is still under patent as we are talking, so I won't comment much, but I would say that it is going off patent in July, and we are free to sell after July. And we already have technology, we already have processes, we already have tie-ups. So, but since product is under patent, so I would like to keep quiet.
Well, thank you, Suri.
Thank you, Abhishek. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one.
Only 5 minutes more. One question maybe.
The next question is in the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, and congratulations for good numbers. So just a broad question, because for last 2 years, FY 21 and 22, we had elements of some aberration in performance due to COVID. So we lost somewhere, we gained somewhere. Now in Q4, visibly the operating profit margin is very, relatively weak. So this, I wanted to understand going forward in each of a segment like API, then the formulation and medical devices business, how the growth is likely to pan out. Now it's a, open-ended, and the answer may be a little longer, but just broadly I wanted to understand what kind of revenue growth we should take consistent and recurring basis, and what kind of profit margin. Now you explained some average profit margin will continue. But if you could give just a little longer for the next 2-3 years, what is our target, where we want to go?
Anandviji, first of all, I must appreciate that it's a very balanced and very matured question, that exactly what is happening and where are we leading. I think at my table also, this is the same question, because quarter on quarter, month on month, there have been questions, there have been answers, and we are all focus on quarterly numbers, and being a listed company, a lot of pressure to perform on quarterly basis. But if I look at the macro picture, I would say health as a scenario and pharmaceutical as a business, these both things are rocking. Everybody is conscious about health, government is conscious about health, our family is conscious about health, your employer is conscious about health, your neighbor is concerned about it, everybody is concerned about health. So health business, pharmaceutical business, is going to stay, it is going to grow, it is growing exponentially. Rather, I would say from a pharmaceutical, the more word has come is healthcare, health services, whether digital services, hospital services, pregnancies, deliveries, and even the so-called fertility market, everything is booming. So therefore, we do not see any downfall or shortfall in the market per se. Now the question is only of these quarterly logistics or quarterly maths. So because business doesn't work on the so-called long-term things, as a long-term we are working on API, we are working on forward integration, new segments to be added, export of APIs, ANDAs to be filed, 100 things we are working. But for quarterly numbers, I would say maybe it has taken 2 quarters for the business to stabilize. It may take 1 or 2 quarters more for the numbers to come back to the growth we want. So that's a hard fact, that it may take 1 or 2 quarters more for the numbers to stabilize. But long term, everything is good. This business is not going to die. It is increasing. It is expanding. Exports is increasing. And particularly with the vision of our Prime Minister, Made in India story, Make in India story, and the PLI schemes, I think we are the pharmacy of the world. We are the hub of the world to export. Whether it happens in 1 year, whether it's happening in 5 years, we are going to rule the world on this pharmaceutical space. So that's a broader view. And coming specifically, what product we will add, what numbers we will add, I would say this is the rat and mice game. We'll keep on playing. Markets will keep on reacting. Competition will keep on coming. You would notice that all the large groups of the country, everybody is opening healthcare sectors. Someone is getting into pharmacy, somebody is getting into hospitals, somebody is getting into digital spaces. So that's a very encouraging, I would say, news for us that it is happening. Earlier, pharma sector was a very quiet sector. Now it is happening. That's a broad statement.
Fine. And the another one on warrant side, when the remaining portion of warrants we are planning to convert?
Ranveerji, we have time till, I think, middle of September. I think there's an 18-month window. So there's some warrants were to be closed before March. We have subscribed to that. We have window till September. So anytime before September, we will do that.
And that would be utilized for, because you do not have any major capex. So where that money will go?
It is primarily working capital only, because we are not, as I shared earlier, that we do not have any bank loans and we do not borrow working capital from the bank. Whatever is growth is coming, that is coming from the our internal accruals and or whatever capital we may use.
Fine. And if you could just...
But there is an ongoing capex also. There is an ongoing capex also, but those are, I would say, it will get divided between capex and working capital.
Okay. And what was the contribution of Exofenadine in this quarter?
I do not have product-wise number with me, but maybe around 14-15 crores.
And that was entirely in domestic market, huh?
No, Fexofenadine is export because we got US FDA approval in November, so export has started this quarter. 70% is export.
Okay.
So we usually do not give a product-wise number because we reach to the competitors, so we try to give broad names of the molecules.
No, just I thought because this is an important product and we have two, three more products in pipeline inside. So I thought that maybe...
From a product point of view, we try to contain whatever information we can share, but we have to keep in mind that what information is sometimes good for competitor also, so we try to save that information. But in our internal presentation, if someone comes to our office and we have a one-on-one, we can share a little more information.
Okay, that's nice. Thank you, sir, and all the
thank you, Ranveerji. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suri for his closing comments.
I would like to thank everybody for interactive presentation and interactive session, and thank you for asking these enticing questions. So we look forward to seeing you soon in the next call. Till then, just stay healthy, stay safe. And I would only repeat, like every time, COVID is here, please wear masks, maintain social distancing. We our life is important, life of the, I say, all our colleagues, partners, family members is important. Take extra precautions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Mopin Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.